This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 15th of September 2023. Hello, and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 14th of September 2023. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Jane Rutter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are Facilities Set for Major Overhaul by Council, Batteries for Car Park Solar Panels, and School Car Park Plans Opposed. So we start with the story behind the first headline.
Facilities set for major overhaul by council. Winchester civic chiefs have agreed to revamp the city's public toilets in a plan which could total more than £500,000. A new strategy for the loos was up for discussion at this week's cabinet meeting after the authority received more than 50 complaints in the last 12 months about its conveniences. The council is now drawing up a major programme of refurbishment and improvements which will overhaul the loos and tackle antisocial behaviour. It currently operates 11 toilets across the district, with another currently closed in Middlebrook Street due to chronic antisocial behaviour. The new strategy may see the reopening of the Middlebrook Street toilets. However, Andy Hickman, head of the programme, told the scrutiny committee, because of antisocial behaviour issues, Middlebrook Street will be closed for the foreseeable future. The council has also installed counters to monitor usage. Antisocial behaviour is difficult to tackle. We have regular antisocial behaviour in toilets and a lot of vandalism. He said they cost around £200,000 a year to maintain, and in the last 3 years, the annual repair bill has been between £30,000 and £70,000. The council has hired a firm to install sensors to measure usage. Some toilets, such as Chesil, only get around 50 users a day, but the Market Lane gets 900, or around 24,000 people a month. The British Toilet Association conducted research and said the council does not have enough toilets to meet demand. Addressing the need for a new strategy, Councillor Kelsey Lerney said we can't keep taking a piecemeal and reactive approach. The council has long been criticised over the state of the toilets and the closure of loos such as Tower Street. In the last 12 months, there have been 52 formal complaints, which Mr. Hickman said he thought was low, but acknowledged that many people might be critical but not actually submit a formal complaint. The complaints concern Abbey Gardens 19, Market Lane 18, Bishop's Waltham 4, St Catherine's Park and Ride 3, South Winchester Park and Ride 2, Wickham 2, Alsford 2, Worthy Lane Coach Park 1, The Ark 1, Chesil and Denmead 0. The capital expenditure in the last 15 years has been £99,000 Abbey Gardens, 2009-11, £28,000 Wickham, 2015-16, £32,000 Market Lane, 2017-18, £19,000 Station Road, Alsford, 2022-23. The improvement plan, which could total more than £500,000, was discussed at the City Council Cabinet yesterday as the Chronicle went to press.
Batteries for Car Park Solar Panels. A pair of batteries have been added to a busy park and ride car park to store the excess green energy generated. Winchester City Council has installed two batteries at Barfield Phase 2 Park and Ride to store the excess energy generated by its solar panels. Solar PVs capture the sun's energy and convert it into electricity. Barfield Phase 2 has an array of roof panels, and these contribute electricity for its needs, including 16 electric vehicle charging points, EVCPs. The batteries store the energy generated during the day, which is used overnight to reduce power drawn from the grid. The initial installation of the PVs at Barfield Phase 2 was supported by EM3 Local Enterprise Partnership. Councillor Kelsey Learney, Cabinet Member for the Climate Emergency, said Barfield Phase 2 is the first car park in Winchester to have solar panels generating enough electricity to cover all the equipment and lighting in the building, as well as enabling any electric cars in the car park to be charged. Now it has this pair of batteries to store its excess, making electric car charging at the site fully renewable. This marks a key milestone in our commitment to reduce our carbon footprint as part of our carbon neutral action plan and to go greener faster.
School car park plans opposed. A private school near Winchester has been criticised for its plans to expand its car park in an already congested area. Twyford School has applied to the South Downs National Park Authority, SDNPA, to extend its existing car parks and install new lighting. Objectors have raised concerns over the lack of traffic plan, the increasing number of pupils and staff, and whether the lighting will be dark sky compliant. However, the private boarding and day school just off Twyford High Street believes its current parking facilities are inadequate, and increased parking will help reduce traffic along the high street. 8 new minibus spaces have also been proposed, as well as 4 raised areas to control speed and provide pedestrian crossings. Organiser of the Colden Common and Twyford Cycle Bus and Parish Councillor for Colden Common, Tony Higginson, said, "I'm not persuaded, in the absence of a clear travel policy at the school, that everything is being done with the best interests of the community in mind. If such a local institution doesn't wish to lead on doing the best it can to reduce traffic and be seen to appropriately challenge its own current plans for active travel, then it cannot then be surprised that it will face objections from the local community." Steve Pullen of Seegers Lane raised a similar objection, questioning whether more parking would be needed if more pupils utilised the cycle bus. Mr. Pullen said, "The school should take steps to introduce plans to actually reduce the amount of traffic accessing the school and lower the number of parking spaces, not increase them. Every effort must be made to reduce car usage to protect future generations. This proposal will just encourage more cars." Submitting her objection to SDNPA, Rosemary Harding of Bourne Lane said, "I do not understand why this school seems unable to be good neighbours in what is a residential location. The traffic in Bourne Lane is terrible at certain times of the day, to the point that residents are queuing from the main road to get home. This is totally unacceptable. It's in a conservation area, but some of the exterior lighting is already very bright and appears not to be dark sky compliant. Altogether, this is a very unsatisfactory state of affairs and asks more questions than it answers." Despite saying that the new design will improve pedestrian safety and the flow of traffic through the grounds, Twyford Parish Council believes the school should be doing more to reduce its impact on traffic, such as promoting car shares. Architect Philip Blenko said, "The main purpose of these proposals is to make existing car parking areas fit for purpose and safe for staff and visitors to use during winter months and dark evenings. Although the Parish Council notes the increase in pupils since 2018, this application is not to cater to any further expansion. Mr. Blenko also assured objectors that lighting will be dark skies compliant.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Britain. Jean Mary Britton, known as Jeannie, in Lymington Hospital on the 22nd of August, aged 90. Burge. David Joseph Burge, at the Dower House on the 28th of August, aged 82. Castle. William Joseph Castle, known as Billy, at Southampton General Hospital on the 4th of September, aged 95. Cottle. Pat Cottle, at Abbots Barton Nursing Home on the 30th of August, aged 88. Crow. Ronald George Crow, known as Ron, on the 1st of September. Elliot. Evelyn Elliot, at home on the 31st of August, aged 88. Forsey. Anita Forsey, at home on the 3rd of September. Goodman. John Henry Goodman, at Winchester Hospice on the 11th of August, aged 101. Green. Michael Henry Green, at Westholme Care Home on the 30th of August. Hoare. David Anthony Hoare, at Meadow Cottage, Winchester, on the 1st of September, aged 79. Jones. Grail Reginald Jones, on the 10th of August, aged 75. Taylor. Christine Taylor, at Brendan Care Park Road, on the 19th of August, aged 81. White. Geoffrey David Millward White, on the 16th of August, aged 90. And now we have Christian comment.
Yes, Christian comment this week is from Nigel Hemming and is entitled Small is Beautiful. Despite the old maxim that the church is the people, not the building, many use the word church solely to describe a particular venue, service, or larger gathering, e.g., what's happening at church? When are we going to church? What did you do at church? It's hardly surprising that this is our focus when public discourse tends to reflect larger, well-resourced churches with high-quality content, gifted leaders, and a global platform. I have no problem with larger churches, and I love big gatherings, but I don't think we talk enough about the vital role which home groups play in the life of a local church community. In comparison to our gathered services, small groups can feel quite down to earth, or even run-of-the-mill. But ordinary as they might feel, they can facilitate the deeper relationships that are rarely possible in a larger crowd. Writing in Acts 2, Luke describes how the new believers in Jerusalem continued to meet together in the temple's courts, as was their Jewish custom, but how they also broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Meeting in homes around the meal table was very common, and even now in Middle Eastern culture, it would be an insult to invite someone into your home without offering food. By eating together, you could deepen friendships, welcome strangers, and serve the poor. After many were scattered due to persecution, homes became the only places where gatherings of believers could meet. Paul refers to this in several letters, for example in Corinthians 16, verse 19, where he writes, Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. The Greek word we translate as church here is ecclesia, which literally means a called-out gathering or assembly of citizens, with no particular size implied. When Paul adopted this word to describe the called-out ones in a city, such as Rome or Corinth, he could easily have been referring to a handful of believers meeting in one home, or a large network of home groups spread across a city. But almost certainly not a larger gathering as we would think of it today. In the relentless pace of our world, relationships are one of the few things that just can't be speeded up. In the local church context, small groups are where real friendships grow, if we choose to buy in over the long term. Unremarkable as it seems, showing up week by week to drink coffee in someone's lounge, share the details of our less than average day, and work out together how to bring stuff to God, provides the basis for long-term spiritual formation. This is how we actually grow in faith and maturity. We don't go to church, we are the church. And this is from Nigel Hemming, senior pastor of Winchester Vineyard Church.
Next, we have letters to the editor. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL, that's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. A very sparse crop of letters this week. I'm afraid we've only got four, so anyway, we'll start off with the first one.
Okie doke, which is entitled Sort Out Parking, and it's written by Olive Bramley. And I should say that there are certain parts of this letter that you really need to listen carefully and pay attention to if you want to grasp what she's writing about. In response to Councillor Kearney's letter on August the 17th, it is true that I can now park for £1.80 between 7:40 a.m. and 8:40 a.m. on a Sunday. But what she conveniently seems to overlook is that when I want to attend the 8 a.m. church service and then stay centrally and shop for a couple of hours afterwards, I am now faced with three options. I can either pay £1.80 to attend the 8 a.m. service, then drive 8 miles back home for 2 hours and come back into town for 10:30 a.m. when the shops open, after paying another £3.30, so £5.10 in total. Or I can pay £17 to attend the church service, sit in my car for 2 hours, and then go shopping. Parking from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. now incurs a charge of £17. Or I could simply drive to somewhere else where they still have a sensible parking regime. Before these ridiculous new charges were introduced, I could stay in Winchester all day on a Sunday for £2.10. Also, when I collect my fish and chip supper from one of the excellent outlets in the city centre on a Saturday evening after 7 p.m, I now have to pay the new overnight charge of £3.30 while I collect it. I do not want a refund. I would simply like Councillor Kearney to explain how she believes that an increase of over 700% in parking charges is justified, and how does she consider that the cavalier actions of the City Council in this matter go in any way to them achieving their carbon neutral objective? Come on, Winchester City Council, get in our world. Stop hiding behind the climate change agenda. Reconsider these punishing new charges and make them balanced, fair and affordable to all. So writes Olive Bramley from Northbrook in Mitchell Dever.
This next letter from our regular correspondent, Tony Stevens, is entitled Poor Signage. Just recently, there have been a few articles in papers about understanding the meaning of roadside parking notices. Recently, I was walking along Barfield Close towards the mini roundabout adjacent to Chesil Lodge when I noticed the road signs on the western approach to the junction. As a driver, I would have expected the mini roundabout sign to have precedence and be located on the signpost on the traffic island. However, this sign is almost hidden on the left-hand side of the road under some foliage. What's more interesting is that according to the signage, traffic, specifically buses between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m, even on Sundays when PNR buses don't run, can also use the right-hand lane to access the mini roundabout, even though it's for traffic heading towards Chesil Street. Could someone please explain what I'm missing as regards these signs, as Barfield Close is a two-way street? And that's from Tony Stevens, The Pastures in Kingsworthy.
Lack of interest shown in High Street. Most people write a letter to the paper in the hope of it being published. Mine was, but had the opposite effect on me. The purpose of my letter, Chronicle, August 31st, was to bring attention to the lack of interest shown in the High Street by the clock never being right. I would also like to add that there's another two clocks in the High Street. Neither of them are right either. By changing the original title of my letter from Apathy O'Clock to Wrong Time, it just came across as a dull letter from someone with too much time on their hands. Hopefully, the right time. And that's from Christine Moore, Park Road, Winchester.
And the last letter is entitled Tunnel Vision, and it's written by Michael Hollis. On Sunday last, a group of us joined the Winchester City Town tour of the visible remnants of the old Chesil Railway. The highlight of that tour is an excursion into the railway tunnel under St Giles Hill, and it never fails to impress. The tunnel is now well over 100 years old, and we're always warned that we may be dripped on while we perambulate. Maybe. But one thing we don't have to worry about is the whole show collapsing on us. The tunnel is still immensely solid, and I should guess will still be so in another 100 years. Not for the Victorians any rack or time-expired crumbling concrete, far from it. They built to last, and as is readily apparent both from the tunnel and the great railway viaduct at Hockley, they certainly succeeded. That letter is from Michael Hollis, Octavia Hill, Stanmore, Winchester.
We now have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial, and that will be followed by First Person.
Today's editorial comment. Public toilet boost and about time. Good news that the City Council is finally waking up to the necessity of spending serious money on the poor state of the public toilets across the district. The City Council Cabinet was yesterday, as the Chronicle went to press, discussing a plan that could see a seven-figure sum spent over the coming years on the conveniences both in the city and across the district. The scale of the boost is clear by the fact that only £178,000 has been spent on capital investment since 2009, with nearly half of that on Abbey Gardens in 2009-11. This has probably been a case of the ruling Liberal Democrats saying, well, they were pretty bad when the Tories were in control too. Except that this comparative and complacent stance doesn't wash anymore. Visitors come to the city and go to the loo and think they're pretty ropey and leave the city with a poorer opinion than they should. Winchester depends on tourism, so such views are important, especially in this era of TripAdvisor and review websites. Now is the time to sort it out. The fact that the Middlebrook Street toilets are semi-permanently closed should also be addressed. CCTV would help tackle antisocial behaviour. If you cave into the yobs and vandals, the problem just gets worse.
The Glory of the Best Wedding by Khaled Aziz. What a wedding! Finally, after years of wondering if he'd ever get hitched, the last of our four children found the woman of his dreams and tied the knot. Unlike his sisters, he and his bride-to-be opted for an unconventional wedding, to say the least. The only vestige of tradition was as it was at home, although not that of the bride's parents, but at our house. August is a tricky month for outdoor events. The weather can be unpredictable. Some even say it's a winter month. But with climate change, you can't be certain of anything these days. Anyway, an outdoor wedding it was to be, and so the planning started. With bride and groom both in their 30s, our parental duties were primarily to cough up. Mrs. A and I had visions of a marquee on the lawn, a catered sit-down meal, speeches, etc. How boring. Our nuptial pair had very different ideas. Planning started in January. The bride is a graphic designer by trade, and our boy has artistic bent too. They wanted something bohemian. Just how boho we were to discover. After several weeks, several vanloads and carfuls turned up to disgorge, and how can I put this without causing offence? Junk. Gradually, our barn was piled high with old sofas, rugs, hat stands, and general bric-a-brac. What on earth were they up to? Mrs. A and I looked on askance, in bemused puzzlement. "We spent the weekend making bunting," announced the bridal pair. "Why not just buy some?" was my first thought. Wisely, I kept my own counsel. A chap pitched up from deepest Devon. He was to supply some tippies. Apparently these days that's how you spell it, T-I-P-I-S. You spell what I thought were teepees. "Have you got some cash?" inquired Mrs. A insistently, in a tone I've learnt not to question. "He needs a deposit now to secure the booking." And so we handed over several £100 to a chap we'd never before seen, who promptly disappeared. But his word was his bond, and come the Tuesday before the given Saturday, the teepee man reappeared with a crew of riggers and set about erecting a structure of wood and canvas that looked for all the world like Hiawatha's country mansion. August was already making attempts to break all records for the wettest month ever. We scanned the forecast hourly, trying to reassess each other. Reassure each other. Thursday, D-2, started promisingly. The bride's sister turned up with her partner. They have a coffee business running takeaway vans into outdoor festivals. What grafters they turned out to be. First up, the homemade bunting strung across our courtyard. Magnificent. It drew the eye to our large barn doors, which, suitably draped with charity shop curtains, formed a kind of proscenium arch, the backdrop to the wedding ceremony itself. Bench seating was laid out, again artistically bedraped. Under the imperious eye of the bride, sofas and chairs were carefully placed in discreet seating areas. I have to admit, it all looked spectacular. Then the heavens opened, and we spent a frenetic hour getting it all back into the barn. having rained all day Friday, Saturday dawned free of rain. It was warm. We thought we'd a chance. And we were lucky. Come the ceremony, a speech turned into a song, specially written for the happy couple, and performed magnificently. Magnificent, too, was another speech in the form of a doggerel. There was a special bar serving Add Your Own Botanicals gin. Food was from vans, one serving tacos and the other fresh pizza from a high-tech oven that could knock one out every 40 seconds. The whole day was amazing. The following morning, I happened to hear on Radio 4 that the top fashionable wedding fare these days is tacos and pizza. Who knew? Smugly, Mrs. A and I basked in the glory of the best wedding ever. Oh, dear. Oh, I love
that
it.
That was great.
I love it.
Right. A few announcements. What on items? Fans of Die Hard are in for a treat later this month, as Richard Marsh's acclaimed retelling of the 1988 cult classic comes to the Theatre Royal in Winchester. The production will be performed on Wednesday, the 20th of September, at 7 p.m. And tickets are currently on sale from the Theatre Royal, starting from £13. And the telephone number of the Theatre Royal box office is 01962 840 440. That's 01962 840 440. A contrasting style of music the next day will be a concert at the Chapel of St. Cross, featuring music for flute accompanied by piano and organ. It will be held on Thursday, the 21st of September, at 12:30 p.m. And the flautist Emily Correa Andrews will perform a programme of pieces following a theme of fables and fantasies, mixing storytelling or imagery through music. There is no information about cost or tickets there. It's probably just about turning up at 12:30 on Thursday, the 21st of September. And then towards the end of the month, a band will be returning to its first ever gig venue in Winchester. Magnetic Skies will be playing at the Railway Inn in St Paul's Hill on Saturday, the 30th of September. The group will be the supporting act for the Radiohead tribute band Just Radiohead. It doesn't give a time for it, but tickets are available online, but also tickets will be available at the door on the day for £15. So that's Magnetic Skies at the Railway Inn on St Paul's Hill on Saturday, the 30th of September. Sunrise is around 6:45 in the morning, and sunset is around about 7:30 in the evening. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And the number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. We can now continue with further items of news.
And the first item is a little piece entitled Actress Witnesses Big Cat. A big cat was sighted in a Hampshire village over the weekend. Charlotte Jackson Coleman was walking her dog in Easton when she spotted the large feline on Sunday. The 45-year-old Sky Sports presenter turned actress, who lives in the village just outside Winchester, said she saw it from a distance. Charlotte said it was quite large. The pattern and colour of the coat was not like one I'd seen on a cat before. As we got closer, I realised how much bigger it was than other cats, and it had no collar. I put my dog on the lead straight away. He is a Yorkie poo and much smaller than the cat. It didn't seem frightened of us, and I got my phone out to take a video as I thought it was really unusual. But I think I was a bit slow in doing so as it ran into the bush and then off. Reported sightings of cats in Hampshire have been rife for several years. Speculation surrounds them, with some believing they are simply urban myths, while others back their existence. But there are photographs here which prove what this 45-year-old Sky Sports presenter turned actress said. I can't make out one of them, but there's a photograph of what looks like a very alert black cat behind the trunk of a tree, staring right at me as I'm saying this, and it's really quite unnerving. It must have been for the witness.
Future looks bright for historic pub. A pub company has received interest from operators wanting to take over one of Winchester's longest-running vacant pubs. Star Pubs and Bars expects building work on the first in, last out to start mid-next year. The Heineken business announced in May that it's planning a £240,000 refurbishment of the historic pub in Wales Street, which was closed due to structural issues in 2019. The Freehouse has since been up for lease. A spokesperson for Star Pubs and Bars said, "We've had interest in the first in, last out from a number of operators, and we want to ensure we select the right person to take it on. We anticipate building work will start mid next year. The major revamp is subject to the company finding a new licensee. If all goes to plan, the pub will have a new kitchen, upgraded interior decor, including new furniture and a darts area, and a landscaped riverside garden for alfresco dining. The listed building had urgent structural works in 2021, with the entire gable end wall not properly attached to the rest of the building. In 2013, its bedrooms were labelled the worst B&B rooms in the country and featured in the TV programme The Hotel Inspector when it tried to improve them.
MP gets behind village memorial garden plan. Winchester MP Steve Bryan has given his backing to a call to create a memorial garden in a Hampshire village. The MP met with those behind the project, which they'd like to realise on a small piece of MOD land adjacent to the recreation ground car park in South Wanston, and is liaising on their behalf with the Defence Infrastructure Organisation. Residents in South Wanston have long complained they have nowhere in their own community to remember a loved one. The South Wanston Parish Council has been working to fix that. It also wants to create a small orchard and allotment to meet demand from residents. Councillor June Perrins, chair of the Parish Council, said the community is fully behind this project. It offers a chance to have a rewilding area with a small orchard and allotments that will allow residents to obtain valuable homegrown sustainable produce. Sadly, to date, every attempt to enter into any negotiation with the Defence Infrastructure Organisation has hit a brick wall, and the tenant farmer seems unwilling to negotiate. We are only asking for around 3 acres of long-standing fallow land. Mr. Bryan added, "Some ideas just make perfect sense, and this is one of them. The memorial garden in particular is a lovely idea and will bring so much comfort to many people. I will do all I can to help them realise their plans for the benefit of villagers in South Wanston."
Private hospital recognised for best practice. A private hospital in Winchester has been recognised for its best practice and safety in operating theatres. Sarum Road Hospital, part of the Circle Group Health, received the award after it was assessed by the Association for Perioperative Practice, that's the AFPP. The body is committed to improving patient care in pre-operative practice by recognising, celebrating and sharing guidance. Founded in 1964, AFPP assesses hospitals across five key specialist topics, including determining and promoting best practice, facilitating education and practice development, providing a forum for partnership with the industry, shaping healthcare policy and providing professional support services. Richard Mayers, Director of Clinical Services at Sarum Road Hospital, said, "We are overjoyed to have been awarded AFPP accreditation after months of hard work by our theatre team. Patient safety is at the heart of everything we do here at Sarum Road Hospital, and gaining the AFPP accreditation within our theatre department really demonstrates this."
Wraps are finally off Students' City Garden. A unique island garden is now free to see at Winchester City Mill. The garden, designed by students from Sparsholt College, is a National Trust first, with the microclimate by the river enabling tropical plants to thrive. The project at the mill in Bridge Street has been a year in the making and will allow the garden to better tolerate a range of climatic conditions, including prolonged periods of hot, dry weather and heavy rainfall. The island garden can be enjoyed for free by visitors as an extension of the mill's indoor cafe, giving people a peaceful place to take their refreshments. A total of 15 designs by the Sparsholt horticultural students were whittled down, with Nina Inman-Cook's tropical arrangement catching the eye of the National Trust team. Having her design brought to life has landed Nina a full-time job as a garden designer with Alistair Anderson. Nina, from Twyford, said, "We had the opportunity to put forward three ideas. I didn't expect mine to be chosen at all. I thought I'd end up working in landscaping, but now I'm a designer. This project was 100% the reason I got my job. It gave me the confidence to try something I hadn't done before. I haven't been involved in the planting process, so it's lovely to see how my idea has come to life." The National Trust doesn't have any tropical gardens other than this one, so it was always going to stand out. RHS Wisley also inspired my planting palette. The mild weather captured down here meant I could pick plants that we wouldn't be able to grow elsewhere. Sparsholt lecturer Chris Baird said, "We always like to have a live project for our garden design students to get involved in. The space looks really good and the planting is true to Nina's inspiration. The new design has brought the garden into the current time, future-proofed it and made it much more manageable." National Trust gardener Michael Harvey led a team of volunteers and fellow gardeners to make Nina's idea a reality. Mr. Harvey from Bishop's Waltham said, "It's fantastic and a huge credit to the young horticulturalists who designed the garden. They get to see their designs put into plans, which brings their portfolio of expertise right up. We don't have a tropical garden here in Winchester, so it's unique to the area and the National Trust. We've got Bengal tiger plants and tree ferns. It's foliage with a bit of colour and the flowers are only going to grow bigger. The climate by the river means it's a frost-free environment. It's such a wonderful space to put all these plants in. The key things we wanted from this project were to create a garden that people could sit and enjoy the tea rooms in, make something really unusual and give back to the community. I think we've done that with this magnificent garden. All the people in Winchester are going to love it." The Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Angela Clear, formally announced the garden as open at a launch party on Tuesday, September the 12th. Councillor Clear said, "It's crucial to create new green spaces. We've got all these developments going on and I know they're needed, but it's vital that they incorporate new green spaces like this one. What a beautiful sight the neighbours will have now. We need more green spaces like this. Donations from the general public and local support groups of around £25,000 helped to make the project possible.
New 3.3 million sports pavilion taking shape. The Football Foundation recently visited Winchester to see the progress of the new pavilion at King George V playing fields. Joined by Councillor Martin Todd, Councillor Kelsey Lerney and Winchester MP Steve Bryan, the Football Foundation heard how the new pavilion will support the continued development of grassroots football and cricket in the district, and in particular the recent growth of women's and girls' football. The pavilion, funded by Winchester City Council, alongside grant funding from the Football Foundation, replaces the two outdated pavilions with a single, larger, accessible, modern facility. It adds to the hub of high-quality sports and community facilities around the Winchester Sports and Leisure Park. Costs of the scheme have soared from an initial £2.3 million to £3.3 million. Councillor Todd said, "It's fantastic to see the progress of the new pavilion. It's going to be a brilliant facility for the local community. Work on the pavilion is expected to be completed late 2023 or early 2024.
Visiting locos steam into town for Railway Gala. The Watercress Line has announced that its annual Autumn Steam Gala event will this year feature a branch line theme. Visitors to the three-day gala from Friday, October the 6th to Sunday, October the 8th will ride behind home fleet and visiting locomotives. Go behind the scenes to find out more about restoration projects and view various exhibits. There will be an enhanced timetable offering unlimited rides behind the range of steam engines, giving plenty of opportunity to enjoy the Hampshire countryside. The popular Autumn Gala will showcase two of the Watercress Line's own engines, 4312 LMS IVAT, which spent much of its working career on the southern region, and the 538087F, courtesy of the S&D Railway Trust, which was used as a local goods train. Visiting locomotives will include number 72 Fenchurch from the Bluebell Railway. This gave rapid acceleration on suburban trains of lightweight carriages on the South London line. LNWR Coal Tank number 1054, owned by the National Trust and courtesy of the Bahamas Locomotive Trust, originally designed to haul freight, predominantly coal traffic. The GWR Class 5205 5239 Goliath, courtesy of the Dartmouth Steam Railway, Devon, would also be in operation. This engine was used to haul coal from the mines in South Wales to the ports for export. The gala weekend will give visitors an insight into restoration projects at Ropley Workshop and Yard. Driver experiences will be available with Kilmersdon 1788 and opportunities to take Queen Mary brake van rides on the goods train. The miniature steam railway will also offer unlimited rides for all the family to enjoy. Guests can visit the Goods Shed exhibition at Medstead and Four Marks and browse the society stands and displays at Ropley Station. There will also be artefacts on show from the Somerset and Dorset Railway Trust at the Old Goods Shed Museum in Alsford. Watercress Line Chief Executive Rebecca Daly said, "Our Autumn Steam Gala provides a fascinating day out for anyone interested in steam engines. It's a great opportunity to ride behind these steam locomotives, see behind the scenes as restoration is in progress, and find out more about the history of the railway. More information can be found by visiting the Watercress Line website.
Street near misses blamed on bollards. A Winchester city centre resident has raised concerns over safety near the square. Joy Bailey of Great Minster Street told the Chronicle she had witnessed several near misses with cars and vans mounting the pavement to turn around before the bollards. The 54-year-old also said that some vehicles drive around the bollards. Mrs. Bailey said, "The council put the bollards in and they wanted to create a piazza feel. That's been successful for Winchester. People seem to like it. But they have effectively now created two turning zones. They've made it a drop-off street, so all the deliveries and taxis come to sit and wait. Trucks and cars frequently drive across the pavement and go past the old vine despite traffic restrictions. I think the plans have not been fully thought through, and an accident is a real risk. The main problem is safety, because people just drive around the bollards. It happens a lot. People can park here from 6 p.m, which is fine, but you end up on a dead end with delivery vans and people who don't know how to do three-point turns. Some people park inside the double yellow lines. It can become Armageddon out there." Councillor Chris Edwards has been great. He came down to speak to residents. They need to have a permanent, better and safer solution. Somebody is going to get hurt. Access to the square is restricted Monday to Friday from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. and at weekends from 10 a.m. to midnight. In March last year, Winchester City Council announced that action would be taken against drivers and food delivery riders who ignore the closure and drive around bollards on the square. Also, that more CCTV would be put in place. Councillor Chris Edwards, who represents the St Michael ward on the City Council, told the Chronicle that in a public consultation in December, Great Minster Street residents said they didn't want additional bollards. Councillor Edwards said, "Council of officers surveyed every house in Great Minster Street in December. They found that the majority of residents did not want additional bollards installed. I think more CCTV would be a good thing to have. Of course, I have sympathy for the residents, but it's a unique part of the medieval town centre."
Dates released for Christmas market in the city. Winchester's Christmas market returns later this year, and the details of its schedule and vendors have now been released to the public. Running from Friday, November the 17th, until Thursday, December the 21st, the Christmas market remains free to enter and no booking is required. Dogs are welcome, provided they are on leads. The opening hours from Sunday to Thursday are 10 a.m. until 6 p.m, though on Friday and Saturdays the closure time is extended by 2 hours to 8 p.m. This year there are more than 20 vendors making their Winchester Cathedral Christmas market premiere, selling a wide range of goods suited to the festive season. Last year, the Winchester Cathedral Christmas market saw record numbers of 400,000 attending. The New York Post gave a place to Winchester as one of the 9 most magical Christmas cities in Europe in 2018.
Activists warn against oil plan. A Winchester climate group has stepped up its campaign to fight plans to investigate underground oil and gas at Avington. As reported in the Chronicle, the proposal from iGas Energy Limited is for, quote, "the retention of well site and existing surface and subsurface infrastructure for a further period of 5 years in order to allow for further appraisal of oil and gas," unquote. WINAC launched a campaign called SD for Nature, which now includes a crowdfunding page. In a newsletter, Dr. Alex Clayton, chairman of WINAC Trustees, said, "Over the last 7 weeks, we have been campaigning to save the South Downs from the pollution associated with the Abington oil field restarting production. The oil company claims in their planning application that the pumping of oil will have no environmental impact. We disagree. We are concerned this development will hugely damage the district's climate plans and pollute our national park. As chair of trustees, I am absolutely clear that this development must be fought and the South Downs saved for future generations. Our South Downs are for nature, not oil." By September the 11th, the crowdfunding page had raised £330 of its £2,000 target. A spokesman for iGas Energy Limited, owner Star Energy Group PLC, previously said, "There is no question the UK will continue to need oil. We are not currently in a position to rely solely on renewable energy sources. UK-produced oil offers emissions savings over five of its top six suppliers, and imports do not offer the economic, environmental, or geopolitical benefits offered by domestic production. The Abington site is an existing site that already contains all the infrastructure required for the proposed oil exploration. It's not our intention to detract from the experiential qualities of the national park. In respect of emissions, all UK onshore oil and gas sites must receive a permit from the Environment Agency in order to operate. The permit includes a gas management plan detailing how the site will minimise the impact on the environment. UK regulations for gas management are very strict, which can include planned emissions releases. These are typically very low in volume, and in the case of Abington, are equivalent to the annual methane emissions of 8 cows.
Restaurant plan could help museum finances. A former city councillor has suggested a city centre museum be converted into a restaurant to improve Hampshire Cultural Trust's finances. Ian Tate made the comments as civic chiefs agreed to a one-off grant of £81,300 to the Hampshire Cultural Trust to meet a steep rise in cost and expenditure. Mr. Tate suggested that the City Museum be moved to the University of Southampton's plans for the former River Park Leisure Centre. Speaking at a meeting on September the 4th, he said, "My reason for speaking is that last April I approached the Trust about a potential business venture which could have generated £20,000 income a year with no financial impact for them and very little management time. I fully understand that the core activities of the Trust are the maintenance and promotion of our cultural heritage. However, with tightening budgets, it's essential that public bodies understand how they can be more financially robust. I support the School of Arts plans for River Park Leisure Centre. I feel a well-managed area on the site could offer an excellent space to relocate the City Museum. This would free up the current building, which could be repurposed as a restaurant and would generate between £100,000 to £150,000 a year. It's essential that public bodies respond to these challenges and generate more income." Councillor Stephen Godfrey said, "I am delighted we are considering this, but the report does not say if the funding is sufficient. The report does not give much detail about the Trust's challenges. Clearly, they are very long-term challenges for our museums. We don't want this important organisation to live hand to mouth. Winchester City Council Deputy Leader Neil Cutler said, "We want to support the Trust and make sure they are well run. This grant will be sufficient for them." A Hampshire Cultural Trust spokesman said, "In January of this year, Hampshire Cultural Trust undertook a restructure to protect the organisation's future and to support its long-term business plan. The restructure was put in place to increase the Trust's focus on income generation and reduce costs against a backdrop of challenging external economic factors, reduced spend by visitors due to the cost of living crisis, higher wages and the impact of both inflation and increased utility bills. In February, Hampshire Cultural Trust approached Winchester City Council to request an additional support grant for the 2023-24 financial year under the terms of its existing management and funding arrangement. This grant request was made to meet the immediate pressures of reduced income from visitors and increased running costs. The grant of £81,300 has been approved by Winchester City Council and represents a one-off payment to support the Trust through exceptional circumstances.
Waste facility plan for motocross site. A planning application has been submitted seeking permission to convert a former motocross site into an excavation waste facility with a capacity for 75,000 tonnes per annum. Planning permission was granted in 2004 for a temporary 5-year change of use from agriculture to motocross track, and in 2011 permission was granted permanently. Three Maids Property Limited, TMP, has submitted the application to change the use of Downs Farms land into a construction, demolition, excavation, CDE, waste recycling and aggregate processing facility. The site is located at Downs Farm near Winchester. It occupies a motocross track. Winchester Golf Academy, Pony Club, dog kennels and training, and a day-to-day agricultural activities. It's proposed that the CDE waste recycling and aggregate production activities will take place on the former motocross track. The planning statement indicates that the site will be subdivided to provide three operational plots. The western plot, part plot A, is currently occupied by Pringle Reclaim Limited. The Environmental Agency issued an environmental permit in July 2022 to allow Pringle Reclaim Limited to treat 75,000 tonnes per annum of waste to produce soil aggregates and substitutes. The central part, plot B, will be occupied by Hillcon, a family-run business. The applicant estimates that 72 HGV daily movements will be associated with the Hillcon operation from Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturdays, 7 a.m. to midday. While the eastern part of the site, plot C, will be occupied by RPS, which provides highway maintenance support across the county. The planning statement indicates that the landowner has been contacted numerous times by many companies seeking land to develop a waste management site. This is because the site is considered suitable due to its proximity to the A34. For that reason, the landowner considered a right time to promote the sale for commercial uses for the three companies to develop operational bases for their business. The planning statement indicated this. Reports on noise impact concluded that with mitigation, noise levels would not have been an adverse effect. However, speed limits will be imposed for all vehicles on site to maintain minimum levels. Public consultation will take place until October the 6th. You can submit comments to planning at hants.gov.uk or visit Hampshire County Council with the HC/2023/0521 reference number.
Singers overcome showers at heritage event. Rain could not deter the Take Note singers and their audience taking part in the Heritage Open Days Festival. The singers entertained some 100 people at Wolsey Castle on Sunday, despite the break-in in the recent sunny weather. That's not quite right. Despite the break in the recent sunny weather. Sorry. Choir director Carolyn Robson said, "We raised some £600 from donations after the concert, which we divided between our two charities, English Heritage and Winchester Basics Bank. We are very grateful to the Northumbrian Pipers, who also played, and to the audience whose enthusiasm and willingness to watch us outdoors in the rain was something we all valued very much and which our charities will benefit from." And there's a photograph here of 12 people under six umbrellas in the pouring rain, doing whatever they're doing. I can see some pipers. Well, it doesn't make any difference how many, but about four pipers and the rest are singers with cheerful faces.
Marvellous. Halloween horrors at the Science Centre. Winchester Science Centre has announced that its evening events are returning with a bang for the autumn and winter. A mix of family and adult-only events will take place throughout the dark months, from monthly outdoor stargazing at Night Sky Live, October to March, to the spooktacular Science Explained, not-so-creepy critters on Thursday, October the 26th, to the adults-only Halloween horror movie-themed Science Lates on Friday, October the 6th. Families are invited to head outside the centre at Morn Hill into the South Downs National Park to discover the stars and planets of the night sky with Night Sky Live. Visitors will start their adventure in the planetarium, where they'll learn the skills needed to identify what's up in the sky. Armed with knowledge, families will then follow the stargazing host out into the South Downs National Park, an international dark sky reserve, where they can observe the stars, constellations and planets. Taking place on Thursday, October the 26th, Science Explained, Not So Creepy Critters, invites families to discover the curious and creepy truth behind the animals associated with Halloween. Visitors will join animal encounter experts, Zoo Lab, for creature interactions and a live talk. Families can get hands-on with snakes, lizards and tarantulas and discover more about snake venoms, explore the science of scales and find out about fangs and claws. There'll also be time to explore the two floors of hands-on exhibits. Meanwhile, older visitors are invited to Science Lates, horror movies, where they can experience live blood-curdling talks, where blood, squib and spatter demos will bring to life the science behind some iconic horror movie moments, from The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Exorcist. Live makeup tutorials will reveal the tricks used to create realistic-looking wounds and zombie bites, and special effects science demos, such as the dry ice cannon and puking pumpkins, will show how iconic scenes from the movies have a background in science. Horror fans can also enter the darkness of the planetarium, where spooky soundscapes will echo around the dome. Visitors can also head to the Science Theatre for the Lates Challenge, which this month is building your very own hovercraft and seeing how far it will travel. There will also be a silent disco, board game cafe, and horror movie themed cocktails at the bar. More information about these events can be found on the Winchester Science Centre website.
It's all go at New Look Pub. A newly refurbished pub is celebrating the creatives, artists and independent businesses of Winchester with its new events lineup. To mark 1 month since its reopening, the Cart and Horses in Kingsworthy has announced its events schedule, including its first comedy night, as part of this year's Winchester Comedy Festival. The pub's business and events manager, Bronwyn Anderson, said, "We are so excited to be launching events here at the Cart and Horses. We've been working hard behind the scenes to make sure that we We are some of the best of the area's creatives and are also offering a full range of events for our local community. From yoga mornings to a full night of food, drinks and comedy, we have a jam-packed September, and with support of our collaborators, we can't wait to see where this is taking us. The pub in London Road has kick-started the programme with a jazz brunch on Saturday, September the 9th.
Launch for Fabric Project. Fabric is very much in our speech and the words we use, but it's also a part of our collective memory. It's a reflection of our society, of our inheritance. Those were the words of Councillor Russell Gordon Smith, Deputy Mayor of Winchester, as he formally opened the Fabric of Winchester at the Theatre Royal Winchester. An event was held on September the 6th at the Theatre Royal Winchester to launch the large-scale creative initiative aimed at bringing together the community. He said, "I'm proud that Winchester City Council is supporting this project and know that this scheme will have wonderful benefits." St John's Winchester Chair of Trustees, Roger Bright, CB, also spoke of his hope for the project to capture the imagination of all in the district. Built on personal and collective memories, he highlighted the work of the St John's Dementia Support Service, which launched in October 22, and in less than a year has already provided life-changing support to nearly 300 individuals living with dementia. Mr Bright said, "Our service remains free at the point of access, but perhaps sadly the demand for it has been exponential. Our hope is that the Fabric of Winchester will highlight the value of memory, encouraging all in the community to support this impactful work." The launch event kicks off a four-month project which invites individuals, families, community groups, schools, churches and local businesses to contribute to the creation of several memory quilts, either by gifting a piece of fabric or clothing, sewing a quilt square, or purchasing a block with a company logo or name. The Fabric of Winchester is expected to deliver numerous civic, social and community benefits. With several community sewing days, the project will generate opportunities for Wintonians to participate in artistic and social events aimed at reducing isolation whilst building connection and collaboration between attendees. All participants are encouraged to share their stories and memories, highlighting the rich diversity of Winchester whilst promoting a sense of community belonging and identity. In a move aimed at reducing barriers to engagement, participation remains free of charge for individuals, families, schools and community groups, including all community sewing days. However, all donations received during the project will go directly towards helping individuals, carers and loved ones facing a dementia diagnosis, transforming their quality of life. The Gurkha Museum has gifted an important ceremonial scarf marking the first fabric donation to the Fabric of Winchester. Known as Kata, the traditional Nepalese scarf is used to greet an honoured guest. With its origins in Tibetan Buddhism, today in Nepal and across the Brigade of Gurkhas, it is used by all faiths, sometimes to represent a garland of flowers. The choice of colour has significance in Buddhism, but in the Brigade of Gurkhas, many colours have been incorporated. More than a dozen local businesses have partnered with St John's Winchester to realise the Fabric of Winchester. Led by major partner Shenton's Solicitors and corporate partners Carter Jonas and the Winchester Bakery, a further 10 businesses have helped to shape this important initiative.
Ops cancelled in unbearable heat. patients and staff have carried on in blistering heat after temperatures exceeded 30 degrees in parts of the Royal Hampshire County Hospital. A consultant at the hospital in Winchester, who asked to remain anonymous, said theatre rooms have been as hot as 31.9 degrees this week. Surgeries have been cancelled, with operating theatres ordinarily being run at 19 to 21 degrees, with even 2 degrees more being overly hot. Some aircon units are reported to have broken in the past and not been properly maintained. The consultant said, there's absolutely no airflow. The wards are desperately uncomfortable and the air conditioning is failing in the theatres. Nurses have had to try to move patients out from the worst bays. It's like being in the Mediterranean, but in full uniform, not enough staff and without proper drink breaks. It's really dangerous. Staff health is at risk. If we are not caring for the carers, how can we expect them to look after patients? Andy Hyatt, Chief Operating Officer for Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, said, a number of measures are in place across our hospitals in order to make things as comfortable as possible for our patients and staff during the current hot weather. This includes running mobile air conditioning units, as well as fans and other cooling aids in areas where it is safe to do so, including our chemotherapy treatment unit. We recognise that this hot weather will be challenging for many, and we will continue to do everything we can to minimise the impact at our sites, while ensuring we continue to deliver safe patient care for everyone who needs us.
And finally, some news from Marwell Zoo. An endangered Grevy's zebra foal has been born at Marwell Zoo. The new arrival, born to mother Ellen and father Angus, not very appropriate name I would have thought for zebras, but that's how it goes, delighted guests who arrived shortly after the early hour's birth. The foal was seen getting to grips with walking in the Wild Explorers area. In the wild, Grevy's zebras are found in northern Kenya and southern Ethiopia, where there are fewer than 2,000 still in existence owing to habitat loss, drought and poaching. Ellen and her foal are part of the European Ex Situ breeding programme, which aims to ensure a healthy population of Grevy's zebra in captivity. Marwell Wildlife holds the stud book for Grevy's zebras, meaning conservationists in Hampshire are responsible for managing the breeding programme. Tanya Langenhorst, conservation biologist at Marwell Wildlife, said, currently the European Ex Situ programme for the Grevy's zebra has very low numbers, and the birth of any Grevy's zebra foal is therefore very much needed and welcome. Zebras are pregnant for 12 to 13 months, and foals are able to stand within an hour. And there is a photograph here showing the mother, Ellen, and the yet unnamed foal standing together at Marwell Zoo. And obviously,
cute.
Black and white stripes, like all good zebras. That concludes our extracts for the week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And Jane Rutter.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And a reminder that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on Hours Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 4 p.m.